From Storyflow Daily, the day's top 10, June 6th. The Storyflow Daily brief for June 6th. Here are the 10 most trending stories from the last day across the open web. First, from Storyflow AI. AI, the day's top 10, June 4th. The White House rolled out a trimmed-down AI executive order on June 2, eliminating the mandatory 90-day licensing scheme that had drawn industry pushback. Companies now have a voluntary 30-day window to submit new models for government review, and a classified benchmarking process will be set up within 2 months to assess the model cyber risk profile. A clearinghouse of identified vulnerabilities will be shared with operators of critical infrastructure such as banks, utilities, and hospitals. By removing compulsory licensing, officials argue they preserve US competitiveness, but analysts warn the voluntary approach could let risky, open-source or foreign-origin models slip through unchecked, leaving a regulatory gap if a harmful model emerges. A coalition of more than 130 mathematicians released the Leiden Declaration, warning that AI is reshaping the very nature of mathematical research. The declaration highlights 4 threats: misaligned research priorities driven by commercial AI goals, growing dependence on costly AI resources that favors well-funded institutions, a rush to publicize AI results before peer review, and the loss of conceptual insight when proofs cannot be followed. They argue that AI-generated proofs, often produced through millions of computational steps, are opaque and practically impossible for a human to verify, undermining the discipline's core principle of reproducible proof. Recent breakthroughs, such as AI solving most international math Olympiad problems and tackling long-standing Erdos conjectures, underscore the urgency of establishing independent funding and safeguards to preserve mathematical rigor. Meta announced a global rollout of its teen accounts on June 2, extending the PG-13-style content filters that were previously limited to a handful of countries to all markets where the company operates. The new system automatically places users under 16 or under 18 in jurisdictions that require it into a restricted mode across Instagram, Facebook, and Messenger, curbing exposure to mature content and limiting interactions with potentially harmful accounts. This move follows 2 high-profile jury verdicts that held Meta liable for facilitating child sexual exploitation and for designing Instagram features that foster addiction among teenagers, as well as. Second, from Storyflow News. News, the day's top 10, June 4th. The Storyflow Daily Brief for June 4th. Here are today's top 10 news stories. First, from the Huckabee Post, Todd Blanche makes news this week, likely nominee for permanent AG. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche, a former Trump lawyer, is being positioned as the likely permanent head of the Justice Department. Since taking the acting role, he has overseen a series of fraud busts through the Federal Anti-Fraud Task Force and pushed several policy initiatives, signaling a proactive start to his tenure. One of his more high-profile proposals, the $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund intended to compensate individuals caught up in the January 6 prosecutions, stalled in Congress. A Virginia judge temporarily blocked the fund, and GOP legislators expressed opposition, leaving its future uncertain despite Trump's ambiguous comments about its status. Blanche also used a recent House Appropriations Subcommittee hearing to explain why the fund was not moving forward, while reiterating his view that former President Trump avoided prison only because of his re-election. He characterized the 34 felony counts against Trump in New York as a travesty, arguing that the alleged payments to Stormy Daniels occurred after the 2016 election and that the Supreme Court's ruling on presidential immunity forced special counsel Jack Smith to drop the cases. Beyond the fund, Blanche discussed the discovery of FBI burn bags that were left in an unusual location, suggesting they may have been intentionally placed to avoid destruction. He linked the episode to broader claims that the Crossfire Hurricane investigation was flawed. The article also notes a wave of departures from the Justice Department, with roughly 10,000 lawyers leaving since Trump's second term began, a trend the author frames as a positive reduction in lawfare. Second, from Chop Wood, Carry Water. Chop Wood, Carry Water 6/4. The Senate is in the middle of a votorama on the reconciliation bill. Democrats are pushing a series of amendments aimed at stopping the Trump-related weaponization fund, blocking an IRS loophole that would protect Trump's finances, and eliminating a $1 billion allocation for a Trump-funded ballroom. Activists are urged to flood Republican offices with calls urging senators to reject the clean bill and support those amendments. A separate effort targets a War Powers Resolution introduced by Rep. Rashida Tlaib to halt US attacks on Lebanon. With only a few dozen co-sponsors so far, organizers are asking constituents to call their House representatives and push for additional co-sponsors, framing the measure as a way to pressure the administration to end the bombing campaign. The upcoming FISA reauthorization is another focal point. After Trump appointed Bill Pult as Director of National Intelligence, Democrats are threatening to block the bill unless stronger privacy safeguards are added. Pressure is being concentrated on Rep. Jim Himes and Sen. Mark Warner, who are seen as key votes for a clean reauthorization. Additional campaigns include a coordinated push to contact CBS about the firing of veteran journalist Scott Pelley, a request to use the RASM platform to urge support for the Ukraine Support Act, and a call to join an indivisible training session on nonviolent protest for the Delaney Hall Hunger Strike movement. Callers are instructed to challenge any claims that Section 702 must be renewed by June 12 to avoid a surveillance gap, pointing out that surveillance could continue until 2027 without congressional action. The email also promotes sharing a filibuster abolition essay, donating to three women running competitive House races, and attending a nationwide Rise Up Sing Out concert celebrating First Amendment freedoms. Third, from La Matinale Européenne, La Bataille pour la Souveraineté Technologique de l'Europe commence à La Haye. La Commission Européenne vient de dévoiler un nouveau paquet de mesures visant à renforcer la souveraineté technologique de l'Union. Le texte proposed explore les géants américains du cloud Amazon, Google et Microsoft des marchés publics dans les secteurs sensibles comme la santé, la finance et l'énergie. Il introduit des critères non tarifaires qui obligeront les fournisseurs à développer leurs logiciels et matériels au sein de l'UE et à garantir une protection renforcée destinée personnels afin d'éviter les exigences du Cloud Act américain. CD des mesures, jugées tardives par les responsables européens, sont perçues par Washington et Pekin comme des obstacles au commerce. L'EU devra se préparer à d'éventuelles représailles de la part des deux superpuissances technologiques. La viabilité du projet dépendra de la capacité des États membres à soutenir une politique commune et à résister aux pressions extérieures. Third, from Storyflow Finance and Markets. Finance and Markets, the day's top 10, June 4th. The Storyflow Daily Brief for June 4th. Here are today's top 10 finance and markets stories. First, from Mithin Kanath. Transfer charge refunds and no AMC for the first year. Zerodha is eliminating depository DP charges for investors who transfer holdings into its platform, effectively making most investment services free. This includes buying stocks, ETFs, direct mutual funds, and bonds, with the only costs arising from intraday or futures and options trades. The broker also waives the first-year annual maintenance charge AMC on Demat accounts, thanks to BSD day limits that already keep AMC costs low. Users can still open a secondary Demat account to separate short-term and long-term holdings if they wish. When you move stocks to Zerodha, you can manually set the acquisition price, ensuring that your profit and loss calculations stay accurate and portfolio tracking remains seamless. Zerodha will track the net monthly flow of transferred in versus transferred out stocks and publish an updated chart in 6 months to show the impact of absorbing DP charges on its side. Second, from Mithin Kanath, success doesn't make my advice better. I find it odd when people turn businessmen into role models, and this seems to have become more common in the last 5 odd years. It's the same with idolizing movie stars and sports stars. None of it should happen, really. When people come to me for advice, my first reaction is, "What makes you think I'm qualified? Just because I've gotten lucky in business, does that make me qualified to advise you on your career, your life choices, or anything apart from how to get lucky?" There are startup founders, especially people working in the social sector, whom I meet through Rain at a foundation, and I think they are far smarter and more capable of giving advice than I am. Good morning, everyone. We have been preparing since February 5, 2026, allocating in the correct areas while the vast majority got this move completely wrong. I remain focused on the key thing that matters. Structure now is not where panic is rewarded. We stay focused and disciplined. My broader expectations remain bullish for 2026. Read more. If you still pick a role model, pick someone for a trait worth admiring in real life, not because of what they project to the outside world. Third, From Elliott, Wave 2.0 Bitcoin. The structure was clear before the move. Good afternoon, everyone. Today I walk you through each asset. I look at the following cycle positioning. Elliott Wave analysis, defined levels, targets. There are no structural changes to these three assets since they were last reviewed on April 20th and May 11th. This more efficient format allows me to review rotation assets more frequently while keeping you all fully up to date. This is Elliott Wave 2.0 structure. First, price confirms, patience wins. Now let's break down where each asset sits in this cycle. Read more. Fourth, from Elliott Wave 2.0, Render plus Riot plus SBET. Fifth, from Elliott Wave 2.0, Elliott Wave analysis, crypto total market. The count, the total crypto market cap, has been tracing a clean 5-wave impulse off the cycle lows, and the structure now appears to be entering its final act. Wave 1 completed at the late 2017 euphoria peak, followed by the deep Wave 2 corrective decline into the 2018-2019 base. From there, Wave 3 unfolded as the powerful 2020-2021 advance. The structure, read more. Sixth, from Elliott Wave 2.0 Ethereum. The structure was clear before the move. Since early February, the team has been methodically allocating resources, concentrating on the underlying structure rather than reacting to short-term market moves. While many participants misread the recent shift, the focus remained on building a solid foundation that can support future growth. The speaker emphasizes that panic-driven strategies are being avoided in favor of disciplined, long-term positioning. By sticking to a clear structural approach, they aim to capture value that others may overlook during volatile periods. Looking ahead, confidence stays high for the remainder of 2026. The broader outlook remains bullish, with expectations that the groundwork laid now will drive continued upside as the market stabilizes. Seventh, from Elliott Wave 2.0, Alt Dashboard Full Framework Review. Fourth, from Storyflow Science, the day's top 10, June 4th. The essay on friendship argues that modern relationships have become more like professional networks, measured in terms of usefulness, leverage, and emotional bandwidth. People now track the return on social investments, preferring contacts who can provide future advantage rather than simply sharing time. This shift turns genuine, unbalanced friendship into a ledger, making spontaneous, purpose-free interaction feel uncomfortable. The writer cites Aristotle's view that the highest form of friendship is chosen for who the other person is, not for what they can deliver, and notes that such bonds, though unproductive in a corporate sense, carry a weight that achievements cannot replace. The second piece offers a practical roadmap for creators who want to build an audience through long-form content. It suggests pairing proven, high-click titles with personal interests and unique perspectives, then publishing a single, well-crafted essay, newsletter, or script each week. By researching the most successful headlines in a niche, rephrasing them, and delivering fresh angles, creators can meet existing demand while staying authentic. The third segment examines the hype surrounding virtual cell models. While AI advances have sparked optimism that a fully simulated cell could accelerate drug discovery, current efforts fall short because the necessary data on cellular components, dynamics, and spatial context is sparse. The author warns that overstating capabilities can mislead investors and lead to premature clinical use, but emphasizes that modest, well-defined models remain valuable tools for probing specific biological questions and can eventually be integrated into more comprehensive simulations. Finally, a preprint from the BioHub team shows that scaling protein language models continues to improve predictive performance. Their new model, trained on billions of protein sequences, achieves structure predictions comparable to the latest AlphaFold iterations without relying on computationally expensive multiple sequence alignments. The architecture uses deeper recursive folding loops and a stabilized recurrent update, allowing more inference compute while staying fast enough for high-throughput design. The same representations enable efficient protein binder design by iteratively refining candidate sequences against predicted structures, highlighting the growing power of large-scale language models in protein biology. Fifth, from Storyflow Health and Longevity, the day's top 10, June 4th. High cortisol, not sugar, is the main driver of insulin resistance. When cortisol stays elevated, it forces the liver to release glucose, breaks down muscle for fuel, and tells fat cells to store energy, especially around the waist. lowering cortisol can be started by swapping one processed snack for a whole food alternative, replacing sugary drinks with water, getting 7-9 hours of restorative sleep, taking magnesium glycinate before bed, and ensuring each meal contains 30-50 g of protein to blunt glucose spikes and protect muscle. CLE. Two everyday habits keep cortisol high: eating ultra-processed foods, which trigger a cortisol spike alongside blood sugar rises, and getting poor, fragmented sleep, which spikes cortisol overnight even without eating. A quick summer-ready recipe featured sheet pan salmon with jammy tomatoes, peppers, and a creamy white cheddar polenta. The dish is cooked on a single tray, needs minimal ingredients, and can be prepared while you watch a recorded live cooking session. It's presented as a simple, flavorful weeknight dinner that highlights the ease of cooking fish with fresh vegetables and a comforting grain base. For a fast way to load up on vegetables, a ground meat stir-fry uses broccoli slaw, finely chopped mushrooms, and optional celery. The thinly sliced slaw cooks down like a hidden veggie base, while mushrooms mimic the texture of meat when finely diced, making the dish more appealing to picky eaters. Flavored with soy sauce, fish sauce, ginger, garlic, lime, and fresh herbs, the stir-fry can be served over rice, in lettuce cups, or as a salad, and yields enough for leftovers. Handy kitchen tools mentioned include a small spoon ginger peeler and a reliable garlic press. The newsletter also highlighted the vibrant cookbook community, featuring an interview with Jenna Helwig, a cookbook collector, food director at Real Simple, author of 5 cookbooks and soon-to-be novelist. Her Cookery Collective newsletter connects authors, editors, and readers, offering interviews, seasonal roundups, and recipe highlights. The discussion touched on AI's growing role in food media while emphasizing the irreplaceable value of human storytelling. A pre-order for Helwig's upcoming novel, The Foreign Correspondent's Wife, was announced, rounding out. 6. From Storyflow Tech, the day's top 10 June 4th. A breezy summer checklist kicks off the brief, urging readers to blend community, creativity, and outdoor fun. Volunteering at shelters, libraries, or beach cleanups is highlighted as a rewarding way to start the season, followed by hands-on ideas like homemade pizza nights, tie-dye shirts, scrapbooking, or film camera photography. The piece also suggests hunting for new coffee spots, mixing refreshing citrus-based drinks with optional spirits, and visiting local art exhibitions. For nature lovers, easy hikes in national parks and simple pleasures such as breakfast on a terrace, picnics by a lake, or sunset dinners are recommended, with a nod to the classic summer blockbuster as a group activity. The design-focused side salad from D-Line delivers a rapid roundup of industry quirks. It notes a playful yet odd PNAX scary movie edition, the rising demand for smut branding, and Koto's thoughtful installation for the Norton Museum that weaves the collection into its design. A tongue-in-cheek comment on climate change data, a reminder that Schweppes is the world's oldest soft drink brand, and a personal anecdote about hanging a cutout Rothko in a dorm room add humor. The newsletter also mentions the whimsical return of Fudgy the Whale ice cream cakes, a dismissal of McDonald's chicken wings, and a light-hearted take on reading the Odyssey with endless feasts. A second D-Line note reflects on cultural fatigue. Sherwin-Williams labels a muted green as the loneliest color of the year, while the writer critiques the fitness-obsessed protein culture that turns everyday foods into supplements. The piece links. 7th, from Dead Poets Daily, Mistral in the Macquarie. A windswept forest of creaking pines frames a restless sea where the water burns white against a sky that races overhead. The landscape shifts between gloom and light, painted with emerald streaks and silver blotches as the wind colors the purple horizon. In a hollow dune, the scene pauses, where a honey orchid tends a bee, while startled boats with golden keels beat against palpitating sails. Above, the forest lifts its many throats in a choral hymn that rides the gale, echoing the movement of the rigging and the drifting vessels. Beneath the canopy, the air feels temple-like, hushed as if a sacred rite has just been lifted. The last boat drifts toward port, its flanks bare, leaving only the lost wind to mourn across darkening seas and furling sails. The poem ends on a note of lingering beauty and loss, a long light that fades as veils fall, leaving the sea and sky to carry the grief of the wind and the memory of the vanished light. 8th, from End Bird Shooting, White-tailed Eagle Disappears in North York Moors. A juvenile white-tailed eagle, designated G834, was born in the wild in Dorset in August 2025, the first such fledgling in the county for more than 2 centuries. the bird's satellite tag recorded a wide spring migration across England, ending on the western edge of the North York Moors on 30 April 2026. Overnight into 1 May, the tag stopped transmitting and has remained silent, prompting North Yorkshire Police to launch a suspicious death investigation. The police appeal asks anyone with information to contact them, citing a reference number. Wildlife crime analysts consider the loss unlikely to be a technical failure, given the robustness of modern satellite tags. The region has a documented history of illegal raptor persecution, with numerous confirmed shootings, poisonings, and trap incidents involving buzzards, red kites, peregrines, and goshawks over the past decade. Recent years have seen a string of shot buzzards on moorland, and the National Park Authority has previously highlighted raptor killings within its boundaries. Conservation groups behind the Reed Introduction Project expressed shock and sadness, noting strong public support for the return of the species and the economic benefits of eagle tourism seen elsewhere in the UK. They argue that the current national park framework offers little real protection, as most of the moorland is privately owned and the authority lacks enforcement powers. The article calls for stronger legislation such as vicarious liability for landowners, mandatory camera monitoring of areas where tagged birds disappear, and genuine statutory powers for park bodies. The disappearance of G834 adds to a long list of raptor losses in the area and underscores a cultural conflict between traditional game shooting interests and wildlife protection. Advocates urge the public's anger to be turned into political pressure to change entrenched attitudes and to ensure that illegal killing of birds of prey, which has been prohibited for decades, finally ceases. 9th, from NFC Summit. How to collect your NFC Access Bracelet Plus Key info. NFC Summit 2026 kicks off tomorrow at the Unicorn Factory Lisboa. The event runs from June 4 to June 6, with doors opening at 9 a.m. on the first day. Arrive early to catch the opening sessions and make the most of the three-day festival. Your entry requires the Eventbrite ticket with its QR code. If you can't locate the ticket, search your email for Eventbrite. Bring the ticket to the registration desk, which is at entrance 4 near Duro de Marta. Make sure you head to entrance 4, as other entrances may not have staff to check you in. The registration desk will hand you the NFC access bracelet you'll need to move around the venue. A floor map is available to help you find the desk, stages, exhibition areas, side events, and other key locations within the venue. NFC Summit is the world's first Web3 pop culture festival, now in its fourth edition. Stay tuned for more announcements as the event unfolds. 10th, from Chad's Weather Blog, June 3, 6 a.m. weather forecast. Local sponsors have helped expand weather stations across the region, allowing the new app to go live with enhanced radar and graphic capabilities. The community-backed effort aims to keep residents informed and safe with accurate daily forecasts. Yesterday's temperatures ranged from a cool 49 degrees F low at Lake Village and Kentland to a high of 83 degrees F near Fowler and Pine Village. Most airports recorded highs between 77 and 83 degrees F, with the coolest highs at Crawfordsville and surrounding sites. Humidity dropped to a rare early June low of about 15%, mirroring conditions seen in 2023. Today the sun is intense, pushing UV levels into the high-risk zone, while pollen counts sit at medium high. Air quality has improved to good after a brief moderate spell, though it's expected to drift back toward moderate later in the week. Winds are lighter than yesterday, and the dry air will keep the heat feeling less oppressive. Looking ahead, the late spring heat will climb, turning the early morning coolness into a muddy feel as temperatures rise. Expect a warm, dry Wednesday and Thursday, with Friday staying drier until evening. Low humidity and reduced wind will make the heat more tolerable, but the overall trend points toward the highest temperatures of the season so far. That's the brief for today.